telling me that there's no audio server available, so I don't know if I'm getting out tonight or not. We will also be dealing with some shows on the current economic situation and how the current economic policies are affecting our costs. Right now, a lot of people are feeling the pinch because every price index, basically, every cost for everything you get is all related to the cost of petroleum, i.e. oil. With oil over $100 a barrel. Uh-oh, what happened? Oh, that doesn't happen. With oil over $100 a barrel, a lot of costs are going up through the roof. Some of the costs, food costs, are going up. Shampoo costs are going up because the plastic bottles use petroleum to make plastic for the bottles. Almost everything you can imagine is going up in cost. So if you want something, it's highly suggested that you get it now while you can before the cost becomes so prohibitive that you can't afford them. I have been doing as much stuff as I can to get things for my family. But I was at the hardware store the other day getting some materials for the pop-up camper that we were going to frame in at our property up in the set by San Antonio Poteet area. And the cost of ordinary cinder blocks, you know, concrete blocks, hollow concrete blocks, had doubled from when I bought blocks 2 weeks ago. Okay, so right there is an increase in cost. When I talked to the guy there at the yard, and he said, "What's up with this?" And he's like, "Well, fuel costs have increased, delivery costs, therefore we have to pass the cost on down to the customer." And that's just one thing. Farmers use diesel fuel to run their equipment to bring in the harvest and plant the harvest, you know, plant the fields. Well, they have to pass those costs on to us, the consumer, so we pay more for food because they pay more for fuel. Industries, such as the electrical industry, they have to pay more to generate electricity. Why? Well, there aren't as many coal-fired plants as you would imagine. A lot of plants run on natural gas, and that cost has gone up as well. Thereby, your electrical costs go up. So I would strongly suggest, if you have the funds, to start stocking up on the things you need and use the most, that because those prices are going to go up. In news around the house today, my five-year-old son decided to try to set the house on fire. And if it was only for the fact that I had a fire extinguisher, that we were able to get it out in time. If I had not had a fire extinguisher, my entire house would have been totally engulfed in flames. Now, my house is a, let's see, it's 68 by 16, double wide. And he set the grass around the air conditioning unit on fire by playing with matches. And, well, now I have to get a new air conditioner, a new power junction box. I have to replace all my siding right there. And I'm just very, very, very glad that the treated lumber on my deck has been treated to resist fire. But if it had gone on about another 5 minutes, it would have been in my walls. What helped save me was the fact that I keep fire extinguishers in my house. I have two of them in my house right now. There's one in the kitchen, and there's one sitting next to my door of my bedroom. And as soon as I can get back down to the hardware store, I'm buying two more. Now, a fire extinguisher is something you hope you never need. But when you need it right then, right there. Same thing for firearms. It's something you hope you never need, But if you need it right then, right now. So there are parallels there. You have people saying, well, you buy firearms because you hope to have to be able to use it. No, I don't. I pray to God that I never, ever have to use a firearm to defend my home or my family or myself. Because I don't think emotionally I would be able to deal with the idea of actually killing someone. I mean, if they're trying to harm me or a member of my family, well, yeah, I will do whatever it takes to stop them. But afterward, I'm not sure how I would feel about that. And there are many people who have firearms for personal protection who feel the same way. We hope and we pray that we never, ever, ever have to use them for that intended purpose. But at the same time, we go out and we practice with them so that if that need ever does arrive, we may do so safely with harm only to the individuals necessary. Those firearms, pistols, handguns, rifles, shotguns, are our fire extinguishers. They're there if in case they're needed, but you just hope you never need them. Many anti-gun organizations, anti-hunting organizations, many politicians don't seem to get that. We don't want the Wild West because the Wild West was never really that wild to begin with, according to the history books. People watch on the movie screen in Hollywood and they seem to think that's how it was. Well, that's not how it was. You know, when Y2K came out, they're talking about, oh, it's the end of civilization as we know it. Well, my preparation, I had a gun. I had my .38 and my shotgun. My other preparations, besides buying a couple hundred rounds more of ammunition for both, was I bought 2 fire extinguishers. I bought a bunch of food. And I bought a couple tents. And I made arrangements with family members so if something happened, my family could get out of Dodge and get down to family property. This is when I was living in St. Louis. If it came down and it was necessary that we had to get out, I had several routes I could go to get to family property in southeast Missouri, north central Arkansas, south central Missouri, southwest Missouri, or if necessary, I can go up into southeast Iowa. You know, I had places to take my family and take all our stuff. Situations that are coming up now aren't all terrorist-related. The predictions of earthquakes and storms, hurricanes, tornadoes, make it so you have to have a fallback plan without having a fallback plan. What are you going to do? My fallback plan for my house being on fire was a fire extinguisher, which my youngest of the twin sons, 6-year-old twin sons, decided just a week ago that he was going to pull the pin and squeeze the trigger in the laundry room. Scared the dickens out of him, got that powder all over the clean and dirty laundry. And that meant I was down to the 1 fire extinguisher, which was mounted on the wall in the kitchen. So, I had to use that one today. Pull the pin, aim, squeeze the button. Fire was out. in about 30 seconds. We then proceeded to dump about 18, 20 gallons of water on it to make sure. But I'm going to have to, like I said, replace my air conditioner and my air conditioner power junction box. I'm going to have to replace my siding and my skirting on my trailer. While I'm at it, I think I'm going to go and get a much more efficient air conditioner from my cousin Checker, he and my mother own a heating and cooling company in Kansas. So getting the material is not hard. I just have to drive up to Kansas to get it. But what's your fallback plan if something happens? Is it grab as much of your stuff, shove it into a vehicle, and then run, not knowing where you are going? Well, unfortunately, you're not going to get very far. The reason you're not going to get very far is because as you are being evacuated, you become a refugee. And as a refugee, the powers that be will go through your stuff that you have. And if they find something they don't feel you should have, they will take it. Oh, you've got too much food. You're going to have to share. Oh, you have weapons. You can't have them. We will take them. Oh, you have all these medical supplies. Well, we need those. You know, we might need these, so we're going to take these. Oh, where are you going? You don't know? Well, we're going to send you over here. And we're going to go through all of your stuff and anything we don't feel you need, but others do, we're going to take. That's about how it happened in New Orleans, Katrina. Are you going to let it happen to you? Are you going to go out there with all your stuff and all your family's belongings and your family on the chance, the possibility that you might have a place to go? Are you going to throw the dice and hope for the best? Or are you going to start preparing? Prepare a place to go to. Prepare that place that you're going to so there is food, water, and shelter for your family there. And don't broadcast it around that you are doing that, because all those people who are not taking this seriously are going to say, oh, I'm just going to go over to your house and take your stuff. It happened during the evacuation for Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Rita. So don't think it won't happen again. It will. When they call for a mandatory evacuation for tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, get your stuff together and get out. Make sure you have a place to go to. Make sure you have the materials you and your family need to not just survive, but to thrive. On our family property, if the city water supply goes down, we have a well. If the electrical grid goes down, we have generators for the well pump and power the tools we would need. We have enough room for about 18 to 20 people there now. We're working on expanding it. We have a rather large family, by the way. But what do you have? Seriously, what do you have? I have a friend who has a hunting lease up in north central Texas near the Panhandle. It's part of his hunting lease, which he pays, I think he said, $3,000 a year for. Split down into monthly payments. They let him put his own building, cabin, you know, out there. He had one of those prefabricated buildings, cabins built. I can't remember by who, but they trucked it in and sat it down. He doesn't have running water in the building. His toilet is what they call the sawdust toilet. That's where you go into the bucket, put some sawdust down on top of it, and close the lid. When the bucket gets full, you take it out and you dump it into a very large manure pile where you also dump any grass cuttings and trimmings and everything. The whole thing is designed to break down into good manure / mulch. But not everybody can do that. Not everybody has the time. Not everybody has the desire. There are many people out there who will basically say, well, I know what you've got. When this happens, I'm just going to come take yours. Well, it's like the fire extinguisher. That's why we have firearms. Now, for my shotgun, I have less than lethal rounds. I have beanbag rounds. They're just little square beanbags filled with lead shot, wrapped up and put into a 12-gauge shell, out to about 30, 40 feet. They knock you back a bit, and they hurt like the dickens. You know, if you get hit on bare skin, it'll raise a welt and possibly crack some ribs. I don't want to kill anybody, but I do want to protect my family. My mother, I was talking to her about how, you know, I felt that she really, really needed to get a firearm in her house. And she's like, oh, someone will take it away from me and use it on me. And my whole feeling is, Mom, if they're close enough to take it away from you, you're close enough to them to shoot them. It's that simple. If they're in your house and they're that close to you, pull the trigger. She says, well, I don't think I could ever take a human life. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll get you snake rounds from the .38 pistol I want you to get. Won't kill them, but it'll let them know they've been tapped. Well, I can't kill them if you put it up against their eye. Put it right up in their eye and pull the trigger. That would kill them, but, you know, from 4 or 5 feet away, no, they're going to know they're going to be hit. And they're going to know that there's 5 other chances of getting hit worse. But people lie to themselves about preparing. They're like, oh, it's not going to happen to me. You know, I've got this, I've got that, my life is going so good. It can't happen to me. Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Rita happened. The police went through New Orleans disarming private citizens who had stayed, who were thriving in the environment because, number one, they prepared, and number two, they had the means to protect that which was theirs. Then here come the police and take away that protection and basically forcibly removing those people, meaning their property is no longer protected, so any idiot can come along and take it. don't say it can't happen. It has happened. In all likelihood, it will happen again. When you say, oh no, that can't happen, you're lying to yourself. Don't do that. Do not lie to yourself. Go through, document what you think you need, and then go through and see what you have. And see what the discrepancies are. Then try to correct those discrepancies. You need to get those discrepancies taken care of. Because when something happens, and it will happen, what are you going to do? How are you going to protect your family? How are you going to provide for your family? After a disaster, three main things that you need to survive: food, water, and medical supplies. Say that you have that stuff, but you don't have a firearm or any other means of defending yourself. Some idiot with a switchblade knife can come up and take what's yours and could violate you and your family, if not kill you, in the process. You'll say, oh, I've got pepper spray. I'll just spray him with mace. Well, mace works on about 96% of the population. There's about 4% of the population it doesn't work on. I should know, I am one of them. I'm not saying you should be afraid of me, because, number one, I don't want your stuff. I've got my own. And I'm making sure I protect it. Now, there's going to be groups of people just going around, oh, we need food. Oh, we need water. Oh, we need this. Oh, we need that, because they did not prepare. And it's going to sound very cold and very heartless, what I'm about to say. It's like, sorry, I have enough for me and mine. Take a walk. Over at Alpha Disaster Contingencies, the Alpha Rubicon website, who I've been associated with since 2003, they have something called a ticket. A ticket is your supplies that you bring with you as you go to your retreat area, your place of safety. What that retreat area needs, you know, all these people are heading there, and if everyone brings all their own supplies, that means everybody has something to offer. That is your ticket to get in, your supplies. Some people won't have those supplies, but their ticket might be valuable skills, such as a doctor or a nurse. They may not have 6 months' worth of food already packaged up in the back of a truck. But we have a doctor or a nurse, a paramedic, an emergency medical technician. Their skills can become their ticket. wouldn't recommend making it in your entire ticket because you can't eat fuel. But with it, you can create power. You can power a generator with it. And that generator can supply electricity. That electricity will allow radios, ham radios, to operate so you can contact other individuals who are prepared like you and possibly the government and find out what the heck is going on. But just don't think, oh, that guy down there, he's getting all that stuff, so when it happens, I'm going to go down there, knock him out, and take his stuff. That guy down there might know that that's what you're intending, and he might have a firearm on him. Is it going to be worth your life to find out? Going to be worth your life to try to take something from somebody else when all you have to do is get up off your butt and get your own ticket together? It's all you need to get your ticket together. 6 months worth of food with some water. Doesn't have to be a full 6 months of water, because if you have the means to treat water to make it palatable, potable, that also goes a long ways. Medical supplies. Talk with your doctor. Find out what kind of first aid kit you really, really, really would need if there was a total breakdown. And unfortunately, I believe it is coming. I don't think it's going to come this year or possibly next, but beyond 2009, I have no confidence anymore. And hopefully by that time, my family and I will be on much higher ground. And we will have all of our stuff. We will have our ticket. And we will be ready. I'm not one of these, you know, run to the hills, start a commune, this, that, da, da, da. No, that's not me. You know, yes, I am a minister, but no, God doesn't speak to me and tell me I have to do this or do that. Common sense speaks to me. The fact that I have 7 children speaks to me. The fact that I have a very large family who I love and care for speaks to me and tells me that with everything I see going on in the news, from global climate change to the cost of oil and all the price increases to all the terroristic acts and threats by other countries made against the United States, us, it tells me something seriously wrong is coming. And I want my family and my friends to not only be prepared for it, but I want them to be safe with me. It's not hard to start. You can go over to the Alpha Disaster Contingencies website, www.alpharubicon.com. And there are many, many articles on that open side. You know, some of them I have written myself. There are articles on first aid, articles on gardening, articles on how to reduce your home power and electricity bill by putting in solar panels and inverters. how to make modifications to your house to make it more energy efficient. Yes, there are sections on firearms, but that's not the end-all, be-all of preparing. It's not. You can't eat a bullet. And a gun can't feed you unless you can hunt with it. So while a gun is useful, it's still just a tool. It is something that can protect you. It is something that can put food on the table. It is something that, used properly, can help maintain societal order. Like I said, something's going to happen. I don't know what. I don't know when, but I'm going to do my best to make sure that my family is provided for and is safe. I hope to God by that time we'll be in an area that we won't have to have the possibility of a bad interaction with someone who could not be bothered. You know, someone who, instead of buying groceries, they had to buy that new Xbox game or that new PlayStation console. See what I'm saying? You have to prioritize what you need and what you have. So my first suggestion to many people would be to go over to Alpha Rubicon and read the articles that are available there. If you have questions about articles, you can send an email to Warlord. He runs the place. And it says right down there in the bottom, he has his email address. Send him an email about that question. And whoever wrote the article will get a little email from Moore saying, hey, got a question on this. You want to answer it? And we usually do answer those questions. One of the articles I wrote, somebody found my email address, because it's not a standard email address to the Alpha Rubicon group. I found out they just sent out, you know, like 20 or 30 emails to this, my name that I use on the board, at all these various domains. And he got me through on two of mine, because two of those that he sent out came to my addresses, to my emails. Number one, he was rather rude in what he was saying. His comment was he didn't believe that a grown man like such as myself could eat well on $21 or $20 worth of food bought in almost any grocery store. So to answer him, I wrote another article that showed the picture of the food, but I did forget to take into account food cost increases because gas costs have gone up. So instead of $20, it was about $21.89, $22. That was 2 weeks worth of food for me. It's nothing special. It's rather bland. But it kept me fed for 2 weeks. So if you, like I said, have a question on an article that you read over there, send an email to Warlord. He is the one who does the board. He will and kick it down to the person who wrote it so that person can answer you. You know, that person might answer you in a private email, or they'll just send an email or reply back up to War, and then War will email you back with that reply. We don't get paid for writing these articles. We don't. It costs us money and time to do all this. But we do it because we want everybody to be on the same page. We want everybody to have a ticket. We want everybody to have a safe place to go to. You live in an apartment in the city. My old city, St. Louis. Well, New Madrid Fault, about 160 miles south of St. Louis. If it decides to go, and they get that doozy of an earthquake they've been claiming we're going to get there for the last 20 years, all the bridges over the Mississippi River and Missouri River, with a few exceptions, will be gone. Those few exceptions will be the railroad trestles, because they're designed to give a little. They're wood. But can you get your vehicle across them? Not very easily, if at all. All depends on what kind of vehicle you have. And then you still have your ticket that you have to transport with you and your family. Do you have a place to go to? I mean, for the longest time, people were thinking, well, I'll just go live out in the national forest, you know, and live off the land. Well, if you were the only person doing that, it really wouldn't be that much of a problem. But when you have hundreds of people doing that, all the wildlife will be gone, scared off. All the edible plants will be picked over. And it won't be too long before somebody's trying to kill somebody else over some mushrooms that might or might not be poisonous. So, start your plan. First thing you do, go through what you have. Everything you have. Take an inventory. And then figure how many members are in your family. And try to put together so you have at least 6 months of food. Guarantee you that 6 months of food will take you about 6 months to put together. Your biggest problem will be where to store it. I run into that problem constantly. I'm just glad my mother lets me use part of her garage and part of her electric bill for the other freezer I put in over at her place. Oh, yes, the freezers. Power goes out because the whole system goes down. What am I going to do about all that stuff in the freezer? I have generators. And I have some gas stored and treated. And you power the freezer for a couple hours a day. It'll keep it frozen. I won't have power for my electric stove, though. It just takes too much off my generator. Bogs it down, uses more gas. So I've got, two Coleman stoves and a folding Coleman oven that I could use. But that uses propane or Coleman fuel, which is getting harder and harder to find because of the costs of everything going up. Everything is all interconnected. It's not one thing, it's everything. sit back and watch the world go by. And then when something happens, expect somebody and everybody to take care of you. You know, I apologize, but I'm not going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of my family. If you weren't intelligent enough to get your supplies together to protect your own family, well, it's on you. Sorry. But I'm not helping you. I have a family to take care of myself. Well, I've spoken more than I really intended to. Excuse me. And once again, I will say, go to Alpha Disaster Contingencies, www.alpha, that's A-L-P-A-P-H-A, Rubicon, R-U-B-I-C-O-N.com. There are many articles, many hundreds of articles that you can read. And if you have a question about one of those articles, like I said, you can send an email and we'll try to answer you. You know, we're not thinking the end of the world is coming, this great cataclysmic event with an asteroid or something or a gamma ray burst. Most of us are more concerned with the possibility of an earthquake or a hurricane or the terrorists getting hold of nuclear weapons or biological or chemical weapons and using them on us and our families. That's what some of the stuff we're concerned about. Because our government's doing pretty good. It's screwed up in a couple areas, but for the most part, it's doing pretty good. So we don't want to try to overthrow them. For one thing, that's kind of stupid, and you go to prison if you don't get killed. We got families to protect. I bid you all a good night. May God bless you and your families, now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
My country, for the pain that it's been through, she's been made to suffer, for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out forming, change now touch our shores. I hear poor fathers are crying as the dream's been crucified.